This morning's scripture reading is Ephesians 4, 25, and chapter 5, verse 2, and it's in the NIV version. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
God of light, let your Holy Spirit illumine our hearts with the light of your redemption, a new day, a new life in Christ. Amen. So I went on a little research rabbit hole adventure this week. Someone mentioned something to me about Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, and I was wondering, like, I know he went into hospice for a while, and I know that his wife Rosalind passed away last year. Did I miss news of his death? And it turns out, no, I did not. He is still alive at 99 years old. He's not doing great, but he's beat a lot of odds. He had brain cancer, he had liver cancer. His family reports that he spends a lot of his time sleeping, which I think at 99 years old you deserve to be able to do. But he still really enjoys visits from his family and from his close friends. And I can't say, I don't know a whole lot about Carter, definitely not firsthand knowledge. He was president for the first 4 years of my life. So I've heard a lot of not so great sentiments about his time in the Oval Office. Like he was too liberal for conservatives. He was too conservative for liberals. There was the failed hostage negotiation, a little bit of a recession while he was off in office. Those things didn't really win him any bonus points. But peace was really important to this relatively simple peanut farmer. It was so important to him, in fact, that when he was trying to broker a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, he offered a little retreat for the President Anwar Sadat and Prime Minister Menachem Begin at Camp David. And then when the two men refused to even sit next to each other, he wiggled his way in between them so that they didn't have to sit next to each other, so that they could keep on track and keep negotiations going. In post-presidency, Jimmy Carter started the Carter Center. And the mission at the Carter Center is waging peace, fighting disease, building hope. And in 2002, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for decades of untiring efforts to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts, to advance democracy and human rights, and to promote economic and social development. if you were to ask him, he didn't do anything all that special in his life. He was merely a devoted Christian. Yeah, his position in politics provided him access to important people and issues across the globe. And he was placed under a much bigger spotlight than you or I will ever experience. But it wasn't those things that mattered to him. Regardless of his station in life, Jimmy Carter's faith guided him towards making peace in each and every interaction that he had. It was a non-negotiable. Knowing that he had taught Sunday school for most of his adult life, someone a few years ago asked him, if you had one final Sunday school class to teach, what topic and Bible verses would you choose? And Carter replied that it would be Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then he continued on, being kind is challenging. We now have the possibility of eliminating all living creatures on Earth with the use of nuclear weapons. The next step in the evolution of human beings has to be learning how to live with each other in peace and with some degree of love. We have to learn how to get along with Russians and Muslims and North Koreans in a constructive spirit of care instead of asking what's the best excuse we have to go to war with them. I fully acknowledge that the word peace doesn't make an obvious appearance in this passage. I think Carter's response, although spoken of at a much more macro level than most of us will have the opportunity to affect, shows how kindness and peace are interrelated. The book of Ephesians is telling the church how to be a community worthy of the gospel. Even in the midst of interpersonal conflicts, once we receive this new life in Jesus Christ, our identities, both as individuals and as a community, are radically transformed. And the author of Ephesians is trying to provide practical advice to the church about how to avoid conflict, both with one another and those who are not part of the church. Speak the truth. Speak in the positive. Avoid bitterness. Forgive one another. By acting in these ways, we can be imitators of God. Imitating God. We can live as God's beloved children. Okay, Bible quiz time. Do you remember in the Beatitudes when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God. I've seen some interpretations that imply only certain people are peacemakers. I'm sorry, I was just thinking about the life of Brian, and when they hear him say, blessed are the peacemakers, and he says, blessed are the cheesemakers. No, it's a euphemism. It's all, dairy products. Anyway, I've seen some interpretations that imply only certain people are peacemakers, so that only certain people are God's children. But when I read this letter in Ephesians, I think it's saying that we are all children of God. And because we are children of God, we are called to be peacemakers. In other words, working for peace isn't optional for Christians. I fully get that we are all human. None of us is perfect. I say and do regretful things on a daily basis. When I watch the news or I read a comment on an article or see a Facebook post from some purported Christians, the things we say and do to each other is disturbing. Some of the most negative, hostile, and unloving things that I've seen and heard have come from people who purport to be Christians. I get that moral and ethical issues become heated, and that the stakes are very high. And our passions just seem to escalate when we're trying to defend God. First of all, God doesn't need defending. And our words and actions are being carefully watched by those around us. And I assure you, we are not convincing anyone to follow Christ by condemning every person who doesn't look, act, or believe like we do. We're not making peace. We're tearing apart and causing great harm to the Christian community. And beyond that, more importantly, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. To be around a bunch of judgmental, destructive, and angry people. Yeah, I don't. I'm not saying that we should be shiny, happy people all the time and in all places. Ephesians tells us that righteous anger is a valid emotion. We are allowed to be angry. What we do with that anger is important. We cannot let that anger lead us into sin. We are to speak truthfully, resolve our conflicts, choose our words carefully, resist bitterness and slander. We, not just the church at Ephesus, but all Christians, are to be kind and use our words and actions to build up, not tear down. We are to be tender-hearted and forgiving, and that is vulnerable. We might get hurt. That's okay. We've got a big community of people who can help to heal you. We've got a Jesus who will heal you. We are to be peacemakers despite our anger. We are to be like Christ. And our motive? Our motive is the experience that we have received God's forgiveness. The forgiveness that we have received from God in our lives. That is our motive. The peace that God has created within our souls. God's self-emptying love creates bridges that connect, not walls that divide. Being a bridge builder, a peacemaker, requires sacrifice of yourself. Giving up our need to be right, our need to feel superior, And in return, we are given a very unique opportunity to participate in the amazing work of Jesus Christ. Jimmy Carter took this passage to heart. His faith in God, his gratitude for all that Christ has done for him, motivated him to make peace in every place he encountered. Through his 77 years with Rosalind, in his family relationships, in his church community, in his diplomacy both during and after his presidency. Jimmy Carter is certainly not a perfect man, and he certainly wasn't a perfect president. But more people know the love, light, and peace of Christ because of Jimmy's peacemaking. May we also be imitators of Christ by making peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.